what got his ass now?
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butthole got stretched a little bit. And
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 230, Cam Wood. Good to catch up with a kid this week. What a roller coaster that guy had last year in his year. Holy smokes.
He had to overcome a lot of injuries, some big ones. Got back to, I feel like, right where he was before the injuries. So we got to talk to him all about it. The Cowboy. I don't know if that's his real nickname. I think Grindle made that nickname at the Grands, and I'm rolling with it. The Cowboy, Cam Wood. I like it.
It's a perfect nickname, the Cowboy, Cam Wood. He likes the cowboy hat, likes country music.
He's
fantastic.
He's got a wood-looking bike. I mean, it just suits him.
The bike looks dope too, I gotta say.
Probably the coolest wrapped frame I've ever seen in BMX. Maybe the second coolest. Yeah. Second, first or second. Top two though. Top three for sure.
No. Is he gonna move to top five next?
Or? No, I'll stick it to top three.
Okay. Progate Europe, winning starts the Great Gate. We're talking Cam Wood. We're talking Argentina. We're talking a World Cup win. Progate Europe.
We're talking, he knows how to get it done on the best gates out there. He's a World Cup winner. Guess what he's won it on? He's won it on Progate Europe. Guess what he wants to practice on? Progate Europe. It's about only get out there.
Fun fact, he's won two World Cups, both in South America.
Well, how about that? Big South American guy, eh?
Huge South American guy.
I wonder if he loves his meat or maybe he likes his Colombian tacos. I don't know. What is it?
You know, speaking of South America, I just watched the new Netflix series. I can't remember what it's called, but it's on the World Cup, FIFA World Cup from 2022. Oh,
yeah.
And so it's like a 6-episode docuseries like Netflix does with sport, and it shows like different captains, different teams, like their journey to the finals. It's really fucking good.
No way. I want to check that out.
Yeah, there's a lot of obviously Messi and Mbappe and those dudes, but yeah, it was super cool.
Hell yeah. I gave after last show, after you were giving me shit and Lexa said it was good too, I gave Money Heist a few episodes and
okay.
I am enjoying it. I don't like the voiceovers still. Like, I don't like how the words and the mouths don't match up properly, but I'm pushing through. Mm-hmm. I've watched three episodes so far, and a smidgen of the fourth I stopped it the other night. So I'm on a roll. I'm still going to finish the season, I think.
Where are we at with the show? What do you think?
I think it's interesting. It threw me for a curveball, you know, when I don't want to spoil anything. I won't spoil anything. Threw me for a curveball when they made the decision to do one of the things in their heist.
Where are you at in the show right now? You want to just say like a quick little snippet or?
Where am I at in the show? I don't know where am I? What's her name? Ran out after they pretended like they were stuck in there, but they were actually trying to stay in there. They let some people go, I think. They let some people go.
Tokyo, did she run? She ran out, or what happened?
Yeah, she already did that. That already happened. Okay. That happened half an episode ago, maybe the episode before.
Yeah,
yeah.
It gets really spicy the second half of the first season.
Okay, all right.
It's fucking good, dude. Trust me.
All right, I'm giving it the season. I will watch the season. I promise you that.
I think I've watched it twice through. I watch it like I think when COVID first hit.
Okay.
I watched it, and then I watch it like the year after. I might give it another watch.
All right. Yeah, like I said, it's worth it now. Like I'm pushing through little voice issues. That's fine. It is what it is. The characters are good. The storyline so far is it keeps you entertained. That's for sure.
I like how they do cities for names.
Kind of nice, eh? I still don't know the names very well, but I like that. Yeah.
I think we'd be Vancouver or San Diego. I guess you'd probably be Vancouver. I'd be San Diego these days.
It's true. I work. That'd be it.
In other news, the Dallas Cowboys suck. Absolute dumpster fire of an organization. Highest valued franchise in all of sport, out of any sport, soccer, whatever. They're the highest valued franchise and they cannot win in the playoffs.
Dude, they stink.
They got absolutely drummed yesterday by the Packers.
It was like, it wasn't even a game. Like after the second half, it was just like, I mean, the fourth quarter doesn't even count because they were just limping their way to the finish line. They knew they were going to fucking get it. So it's like,
you know, there's guys that come through in big moments and live for the big moments and bring their A game in big moments. Dak is not it. He's just not it. When like he's good. He's the type of guy I think who's good when it's like things are easy and whatever. Yeah. But as soon as like it's crunch time, he just folds like a fucking lawn chair.
When has he ever done good in the playoffs? Never.
I don't think he ever has.
I feel like you're able to say this. Your team did fantastic this year, so you can call it as it is. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to play last weekend. You're that good.
But it's everything starts from scratch in the playoffs. So whatever the Ravens have done up until this point really doesn't matter. It's fucking game time now.
That's true. I'm watching the Bucs game and the Eagles game right now. I have it on live beside me. It is currently 13-3 for the Bucs, which is the Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers are terrible.
I know, but the fucking Eagles have been shit in the bed the second half of the season.
They went like 1-5 or something.
I wonder if we have many Dallas any Dallas fans on the show. We gotta have at least one or two.
100%, dude. The Cowboys are the highest valued franchise in the world, and all they talk about on SportsCenter here in the U.S. are the Cowboys.
We send our condolences. Absolutely send our condolences.
Yeah,
team that's never gonna make it past the first. They're gonna be the new Toronto Maple Leafs.
The Leafs are the absolute equivalent in Canada to the Cowboys in the U.S. because the Leafs. All anyone cares about sport in Canada, go on SportsCenter, is just talk about the Leafs all the time.
Yep.
And then good team, and they just suck in the playoffs. Yeah. And it's just...
Everyone loves to hate on them, too, on the Leafs. I'm sure it's the same thing with Dallas. I feel like people 100%. Love to hate on them.
Yep, so. 100%. And they just go and just get drummed in the playoffs first round.
I tell you, any sport, playoffs, I love it. Like, you know me, I'm not going to call myself...
Playoff sports is great.
Yeah. I'm not a diehard football fan. I like watching certain games. I'll definitely watch it every Sunday if I'm not doing anything. But, like, playoff football, I'm absolutely going to be watching all the games.
Playoff football is fucking sick. Yeah.
So good.
I think Bills and Chiefs are playing next weekend, too, which will be another good game.
Yeah, that's good. The Bills, they smoke the Steelers as well. I mean, maybe not smoke, but I feel like, yeah.
Which I just love to see it. I love to see it. And other sporting news, the Supercross this past weekend, absolute slop fest in Northern California.
Oh, man.
Absolute slop fest.
Dude, I hate watching that. I feel like there's, like, I used to be a mud fan. Like, I'm a fan of mudders sometimes. Like, they call it the great equalizer, you know. The privateer comes out to shine. He gets the ride of his life, has the result of his life. Doesn't seem to happen as much these days, in my opinion. And, dude, it's just boring to watch. Guys, the feet are off the pegs the whole time. They're not jumping anything. You can't even tell who's who half the time. It's so boring, dude.
It is. It is terrible. And just the start means everything. Yeah. Do you think, like, Sexton, like, tried to time the gate. You see his start?
Dude, I did see that. I watched a little video. Like, I watched their press conference. I mean, I love post-race press conferences. Oh,
what did he say?
He said, and you could see the video because I watched the video a bit after. He kind of saw, he thought he saw somebody flinch. And I think Plessinger beside him kind of flinched a little bit. And so Sexton started going. And then the gate just went down. So he just kept going kind of thing. It was one of those ones where it was like he probably was flinching. And at the same time, the gate started going. And somehow it just worked out. That was insane.
Just 1 in 100 perfect starts.
God, that's crazy how that happens, hey?
Oh, and this dude, the start is just everything. If you, like, Anderson crashed in the first corner, you're so fucked.
Dude,
you're only behind, your goggles are fucked. You're completely covered in mud. You can't hold your bike. I don't even know how you do it. Like,
dude, did you see? I thought it was hilarious. So the whole Roczen thing being on Suzuki, because, you know, it's kickstart. It's just funny. Everyone makes fun of it, or at least they did last year. And now it's kind of more whatever. But of course, he gets a fantastic start, rips into the first turn, gets completely blinded by mud. And then I think he stalled it and had to try to start the bike in the mud. It's just like, you know, if you had an electric start, it would have been better. Would have been way better.
So I don't know anything about motorsports, like in terms of that stuff, but why doesn't Suzuki just do an electric start on their bike?
I don't know enough either. My guess, it's like they probably don't give a shit to spend any money on their dirt bike. Like that's probably I don't know. It can't be that big of a remodel to do that, hey?
I have no idea, but like just figure it out. It's not the 90s. Everyone else is doing it. Seriously. Like people are probably buying bikes because yours doesn't have an electric start, honestly.
Yeah. 100% like, they probably do. Yeah, it's crazy, hey?
I always think of this in motorsports. Like we talked about it with F1 before too.
Yeah.
It's like if you see why can't Mercedes figure it out? It's like you need more money. It's like, dude, you It's like, you guys won the title for so many years and now your car is an absolute like dumpster fire on wheels. It's like, can you just, I don't understand. Where's the disconnect?
You have some of the smartest people in the world. You have guys that figured it out at one point. Why can't you figure it out now? You mean to tell me you need all this money changes? To test? Yeah, I don't know. I could give you a real reason. I think it's because like they can't test as much. So they can't spend money on making so many different options that they test and all of a sudden they find one that just works randomly. But at the same time, they know it fucking worked before. You mean to tell me you can't figure out something close enough to what worked before that's going to just be the same and work now?
And they do everything in-house too. It's not like they order engines and whatever, like Red Bull, I guess. So there's no reason they can't just do a better job.
Just do better. You have the resource. You have the people. They're the biggest company out there for Formula One cars.
If I was the owner, I'd be like, so what's happening right now?
What are you guys doing on a daily basis that we can't figure this shit out?
Explain to me why we're getting waxed by these other teams.
You mean to tell me this Red Bull company, they source their engines from somebody else and we're doing it in-house and we can't figure this shit out?
Yeah, like I'd be pissed. I don't know. I don't know anything about that, but it just seems, it always baffles me. And obviously it's really complex, I'm sure, but.
We have nothing in BMX that's like that. Has there ever been like a bike or somebody riding something that was like, man, they just can't figure it out for this guy for him to do better? Has there ever been that
BMX
moment?
Bikes are so simple. Like they're so simple. Like, I guess you could have better components, but I mean, make that big of a difference. Not really.
No, I'm trying to think. I'm like, maybe like some, like for a while there back in the day, there was the pedal issue. Everyone was unclipping. And it was like, you mean to tell me like you guys can't figure out some way to just stay clipped in? I feel like that's probably our closest one.
So when I went to the a super motocross finals in LA in the fall.
Yeah.
The people I was with a friend, and then they're from Canada, and they were staying with a family whose son was in the Supercross All-Stars or whatever it is, like the 16, 17-year-old guys. Yeah. What's it called again?
I think it's All-Stars, yeah. Isn't
it? Yeah, okay. So he was a really good rider, but he has sponsors, but he's basically like kind of privateer.
Okay.
And so she was saying like, you can't compete with a factory bike because they're on 250. They're on 250s, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
She was saying, so an engine is like whatever, 20 grand or something. So they're buying their engines, like the family's buying the engines. And she's like, to preserve them, we can't like run them. I don't know what the word she used. We can't run them like as fast as they can go, basically, because they'll wear out way quicker and they just can't afford to keep buying engines. But like a factory team, they don't care. Like they'll just turn up the engine and just rip it. And so it's like, you can't realistically compete with that. How can you possibly compete with an engine that's just not tuned as fast?
It's insane, hey? Absolutely.
So
insane,
it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter how good you are. You can't bridge that gap.
At the young ages, I don't know how till what age they do it. And I don't know if they still do it. I know from before. They have, it's different classes. They have mod classes and stock classes. So you can be an age and you can race the same bike in the same people in two different style bikes. So you race a stock bike and a mod bike. So you race, so that's like opportunity, I think, to like, if you're somebody that maybe doesn't, because you're right, they're fucking expensive. Nobody can just, normal person can't just go and afford. This is why they like the stories of like the families, like Villopoto's family, like selling their business just to get him to go racing.
Man.
But it's like, you have to hope that, I guess, that you can do well enough on the stock bike that maybe you get some support to then get on a factory bike and then show them what you got. But that's, crazy.
That's the thing. If you can show that you at least have some speed and you get like a top 10 or something, then obviously if you get like a factory Honda deal, you're going to be way better.
Yeah. Kind of wild. The worst thing we have, like, I mean, everybody can ride the same bike. So as long as you got a bike, the worst thing you got to do is start from the outside, maybe at the start of your World Cup debuts, and that's about it.
Yeah. In BMX news, second national of the weekend this past weekend in Florida. Shout out to TN training rider Eli Staton. Won all 3 days, 10 for 10 laps, didn't drop a lap. Kid's an animal. Absolute pleasure to work with. So congratulations, dude. Good work.
Nice work. What line did he take down that little straightaway splitter?
Dude, everyone goes over and around or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
I don't even know if people use the other line.
Fair.
It's pretty funny though. Like that's a pretty funky layout, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really funky, but good for little kids. Yeah. They love it, I think.
Yeah. Sylvan's social media check-ins. We got a couple. Let's start with Alexis Alden, Sarasota first jump. Scorpion Queen, I should say. I'll say that I'm glad she's okay, first of all, because that crash, you could break both ankles, you could break your neck, hit your head. You could probably die doing that, honestly. So I'm glad she's, I mean, from what I understand, she's okay. Second of all, the video just goes viral. Saw Barstool Sports.
That's the first place. Dude, that's the first place I saw it. I was like,
unbelievable. Oh, really?
I'm scrolling through, and all of a sudden, like, I see a Barstool. I didn't see Barstool. I saw BMX, and then I looked. I was like, Barstool. I was like, what the fuck's going on here? They don't, like, why would they be posting BMX stuff? And I was like, no way. That was wild. And then people send it to me other places too. Crazy.
That was one of the gnarliest crashes I've ever seen.
We can confirm she's okay. I think she's okay.
I think she is too. I'm not 100% certain, but I think she is.
Based off what we know now, she's okay, and we're going to comment as if she's okay.
Yeah, we're going to comment as if she's okay.
Yeah,
dude, which I think she is.
What happened? I don't even know what happened on the jump.
It looked like she didn't jump it. Like, just went off the lip and landed like in the face, dude.
That takes some balls to send it. Like, if you're, it's your first time sending it, like, that's not, like, it's a gap jump. Fine. Like, that's what you got to do on Supercross. You got to hit a gap jump. That's taking balls to hit a real Supercross jump, even if it is a smaller one.
So I don't know how much experience she has on Supercross. Like, she's obviously a really great rider and won a lot. And I think she's, like, I'm pretty sure she did well at Rock Hill last year, I want to say, on the Supercross. Obviously, the first jump in Rock Hill isn't nearly the same. It's not a gap jump. You don't have to actually send it. Mm-hmm. And holy crap, you got to be sure if you're on Supercross and if it's a gap jump. It's got to be, like, in all seriousness, it's got to be a full commitment to at least, like, send it. I think, I'm not sure what happened, if she, like, second-guessed it or just, I don't know. But it kind of looked like she didn't pull up and just, like, went off of it. But, man, you gotta be ready to do it. I don't know if she was there with a coach or what, because I know she's fairly young, like 15, 16, something like that.
Oh, wow.
But that's, I think, for sure on Supercross, like, you need, if you're young, I think you need a coach there helping you, or at least some people that have done it and can help you, because it's for sure, like, it's the next stage in racing if you're at that level. But it's really dangerous, and it can bite you fucking quick if you're not fully, I'd say, ready for it. Probably
you're gonna learn today. If you decide to go up there and send it, you're gonna learn. You're gonna learn really quick.
Yeah, and I don't want to see people get hurt. It's gnarly. Like, Supercross is you gotta be ready for it. I'm glad she's okay.
Yeah. The other big news in the BMX world, which was kind of took me by storm. I didn't see it coming one bit. Papineau World Cup 2024 this year is canceled. Crazy.
Yeah. The people on the Facebook were just up in arms about it.
Were they really? I never even looked. I didn't see.
I saw a post real quick. I don't look at that shit, 'cause I don't really care, but, or, like, care about, like, people, like, bitching about it. But I think, yeah, people were up in arms about it. It's after the Worlds, right? That one.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the reason they probably took it out because it's after the Worlds and has no bearing on the Olympic qualification, right?
Yeah. I talked to a source today that informed me that was basically, oh, we got Cam in the chat now. Let me, he's coming early. I like this. Love this guy. I'll finish my thought here and then I'll add him in. Basically, yeah, they pretty much have an understanding that it's at a bad timing with the Olympics coming around. They know they're not going to get the full field that they would like, that they expect, and what they tell the city and all the sponsors that they're going to be getting. So they don't want to waste everybody's money. And then the next year, they don't want to waste everybody's money, have a poor race, a poor environment, like not what they expect. And then the next year, nobody wants to support it and give them the money to host the World Cup when they know how big it can be. Basically like that.
So I don't understand. I agree with all that. What I'll say is, like, we all kind of knew this beforehand. So why schedule it in the first place?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Like, maybe no one, just no one would go. Like,
maybe they thought something differently. Maybe they didn't realize. Maybe they didn't take that into account. Like, when you're scheduling it, I wouldn't really take that into account. They probably had the World Cup booked before. I don't know when they had it.
I mean, for sure you take it into account. Like, how would you not? I mean, yeah.
Should we ask Cam how he feels about it?
It's not BMX's first kick at the Olympics. I mean, this is the fifth time. Yeah, fifth time around.
So. Yeah. Let's ask Cam how he thinks about it. We got him coming in the chat now. We should have him in the chat now. He's coming in slowly.
There he is.
There he is.
Howdy.
What's up, Cam?
The cowboy.
You guys hear me?
Yeah.
Dude, where's the cowboy hat?
Oh, man, that's only for the podium.
Okay.
So, you know, Nike dropped Tiger and they just picked you up now, or what?
Exactly what happened.
That'd be sick, eh?
I wish, man. Oh, man. I wish.
We were just talking about Pabst being canceled.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that, man. What the heck?
Kind of a bummer. It's a staple.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised. I mean, it's kind of a weird time. Like, no one would have gone anyway. So,
Yeah, I was actually thinking that early in the year when I saw that. I was like, everyone's going to be in a different situation that time of the year. But I kind of saw that. I thought it was just going to be one of those World Cups that was kind of dead. Yeah. It was just just like a few rounds, total points made.
48 dudes.
Just eight dudes duking it out.
It's true, though. That is exactly right. I think why they canceled it. So
yeah.
It's unfortunate, but yeah.
Yeah.
You back in Phoenix?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I was in Chula for a week, and then I got back yesterday and just hanging out with the girlfriend today.
Nice. Yeah,
back home.
How was the track in Chula?
It was good. Yeah, it was my first time on it since they resurfaced it.
Way better. So
last time I was there. Yeah, way better for sure. But it's crazy, man. I mean, every time I go back there, everything just feels smaller and smaller still. Mm. And it's getting fast and small. It's always good. It's obviously the closest supercross or 8 meter hill to Phoenix. So try and get out there in December and January, usually every year.
James, I think you're muted. James.
I was muted. Thank you. It seems like they're trying to bring it back a little bit for you guys to have somewhere to train on supercross again, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. No, it was cool. And, you know, the sessions I was there, I mean, there was a good group of people, obviously, Elise, Lauren, the locals, Anthony, Ava, and then Neek was out there when we were there. So it's a good environment for a week. It was cool.
Man, the second straight is just tiny these days. Like, it used to be so big and gnarly for guys to do it. Now you get just like, it's just over jump city.
Yeah, man, that one is, I got to say a prayer when I go through that one. Actually, I had a crash there with Picardo like a year and a half ago. And ever since that, man, I just, every time through there, I've been having trouble even just going through it. I'm like, there's just no point.
Where did you guys crash?
I was leading an effort and I butt scuzzed the second jump, which out of all places, that one's like pretty simple, right? But I just barely tagged it, scuzzed my butt. And I remember this so vividly, man. Like, my hands kind of like came off the bars and I was riding with my chest like on the bars, like going up to the berm, like not crashed yet. Like, I'm still home. Like out of control like this. And I thought Picardo was on my right. And I ended up like, I just kind of went with my senses and like fell left into the face of the berm. And he was right on my left, behind me, ran over me. And then he, like, I'm tumbling up the face of the berm jump. And I look up and I see Picardo like somersaulting over me into the middle.
Oh my God.
To the women's turn. And that was kind of, that was kind of the end of that straight.
Multiple casualties in Chula Vista.
That was kind of the end of it for me.
Dude, oh my God. When you hit your ass on your tire and you're on your bars, you must have saw your life flash before your eyes.
Yeah. One, I was just, dude, it felt like I was picking up speed too. Like, I was riding like this. I was like, I'm really about to hit the berm like this. Like,
Oh my God.
Crazy. Someone that better jump,
that jump has claimed some folk over the years.
Yeah. Crazy. But I think, you know, I was bummed. I felt horrible because I think he ended up kind of hurting himself. And I got out of there all right, considering the way it went down.
I think it's just not made for the speed. It's not made for the speed that
it's not now. Yeah.
No. And that's just kind of what that's the thing about that track is it's so fast, right? And there's only one line through everything. And you can't, you can't like get out of it. Like when you're in there. There's no other option.
Third straight is pretty cool, actually, the way that's built. But yeah, going full speed at that one would be so difficult.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine a race happening on that.
No.
I don't know.
speaking of tracks, how's the new Black Mountain track? You've been training there?
Yeah, it's been good. It's kind of been a work in progress. Like, they had a complete rebuild probably in the middle of last year sometime. And they ended up like completely tearing that one down. Like, they flattened it, rebuilt it all up, and then reflattened it again and built a new one. So this is kind of the second trial, and it's a lot better. Like, it's a solid, I mean, it's pretty standard USA BMX track. It's just been kind of bumpy and soft, just getting, I mean, obviously without a lot of people on it so far. So, it'll be good. I think it's a racetrack.
Yeah. Are you going to race that race, the national there, you think?
Yeah, that'll be my first one of the year. My house is literally 5 minutes from the track.
Yeah, so. Get one in before the World Cups.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, dude, looking back on last year, what a roller coaster year. Start off the year really fast, get hurt, come back, win races, win a World Cup, silver medal at Pan Ams, and then race the Grands, obviously. Like, how do you look back on it now?
I mean, I think you said it best, just a roller coaster. Yeah, I don't really know where to start, to be honest. Just a series of highs and lows, really, that I haven't had to deal with in my career. It felt like kind of just a storm, kind of all of it happening at once. Definitely just overall, I guess I look back on it. I did more growing as a person and as an athlete than I've ever had to do. So I guess, you know, that would kind of be, when I think of 2023, that's probably what I would think of.
What was the shoulder injury that you had? Like, I obviously saw the pictures and all that, but didn't actually hear anything what it was.
Yeah, so I guess the medical term is a bony Bankart repair. So it was a torn labrum, and then basically the your shoulder socket is called a glenoid, and that was fractured. So basically they had to tie a bunch of little chips bones back into place and then restructure my labrum. So that was the official injury. Yeah.
What was the recovery like for it? How long were you immobilized, and how was the rehab with it?
I think it probably would have been, it was 5 or 6 months till I was back racing. But I was in an immobilizer, had an arthroscopic surgery in June, I believe. Yeah, I believe it was like late June. And I was immobilized for, I think, 2 full months, like 6 weeks in that sling, which was annoying. Slept with it, everything, horrible.
Brutal.
didn't get out of that thing for 6 weeks. And when I was out of it, I just could barely move my arm, man. It felt so brutal. I started really from scratch. It was a long process. It was PT 5-6 times a week, 2 hours a day, doing obviously everything I could at home outside of that. And yeah, just frustrating. Like I said, being my first kind of major injury, and you just don't see progress with stuff like that. Sometimes it just feels like you're stuck, and it's just hard because you're working harder than ever, and nothing's happening. It feels like you're going backwards sometimes. It was hard to stay patient, and that's really, you know, what I had to be during that time. So, that was the process, really, 6 months before I was comfortable enough to race. And even when I came back, I still wasn't quite sure how it would hold up. So
crazy. Yeah, I mean, it was cool to see you come back and like make it in time for the World Cups in Argentina, because like just watching from the outside, I wasn't sure if you're going to race them. And then obviously got a couple wins in Cali there in the USA Series, and then got the win in South America. Tori mentioned both the World Cup wins have come in South America. You clearly have something going on in the waters down there.
I was going to call you Mr. South America these days.
I do like it, man. I do like it down there. I like the energy.
So what'd you think of Argentina, first time being there?
Well, I'd say this about pretty much everywhere I've been so far in South America. Like the area you're in is a little bit, it's different, it's unique, right? But the track itself, like everything within that boundary, there is an energy there that I haven't really felt anywhere else. So
100%.
And it's cool, like being from America, like on the USA BMX circuit, and this is kind of the way I describe it, is, you know, like the kids here, they're so used to seeing all the top pros and like everyone kind of being around.
Yeah.
And it's just different when you go to South America. Like, I love when there's the energy of like kids surrounding, like when you can't even leave the tent area because they just all want like your shirts. They want you to sign everything. Yeah. Like, I love that. And I feed off of it. So it's just always cool to go there and just, yeah, I mean, it feels like a proper like spectacle every time you go there. So,
Cool. It's special. And it seems like like every time you go there, it's like the whole city and everyone there is really stoked you're there. Like they're really pumped on everything. Yeah.
How was that?
So coming back, I was going to say coming back from your shoulder surgery, obviously got a couple wins in LA. It must have been a pretty big relief to see where you were at after all the time off.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, it was kind of on the lighter end of, I guess the USA BMX schedule. Everyone was racing in France that weekend, and it was kind of like the perfect storm. And I wasn't really sure if I was ready to race either. So I kind of went there, like, not really knowing how it would hold up. Like, I remember training leading up to that race, and it felt fine, like with all the movements that you need, obviously, like manualing, getting out of the gate, everything felt fine, but it would fatigue so fast. Like I would do a few efforts at the track, and then after that, it was just throttled. Like I needed days to recover. So I kind of went there. There was some uncertainty. And but yeah, it felt, it was just important. The plan always was to, you know, make, try and get back by Argentina. And obviously anytime you can kind of get a race in before, you know, throwing yourself against the best in the world, it's, it just seemed like the best option. So yeah, managed to make it happen. And you know, getting out of there with two wins was obviously big for the USA BMX points, and got me kind of right back in the thick of it. So it ended up being a blessing for sure.
I feel like obviously Grands probably didn't finish off the way you would have liked, but I mean, the fact you got, you made it as close as you did with the win at the Rock, that was obviously really sick. How did, how'd you feel about that Grands experience? Cause I mean, you were right in the thick of it again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it was weird because like I said, the journey to get to that point was, it was different than anything I'd ever been through. And yeah, you kind of reflect on all the things that happened leading up to that moment. And, you know, I was just proud, obviously, to be in the position I was, given the circumstances. And I missed three stops on the USA BMX circuit that most people race, which is obviously six opportunities to get scores. So yeah, we really made another late season push, which has kind of been a trend lately.
Crazy, yeah.
In a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, that was the position I wanted to be in. It really was. And that's a position you dream about. And the journey to get there wasn't easy. I was proud of that. I wish the outcome was different. And yeah, that one will eat at me for some time, I'm sure. But yeah, really, when I look back on it, I was proud to get up in that, to that point, you know.
And I fucking love is that, like, whenever you're in the gate in those situations, it just, you feel like, you know, you're going to go for it no matter what. Like, you're going to give it every opportunity you can to try to get the win, like a racer does. Instead of some people, I don't know, you know, they're in a spot. They're like, okay, well, let's hope they get out good or else, you know, it's no fun to want to watch. It's like, it's different when somebody you can tell. And it is, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
How's the mindset going into the mains with that? Obviously, three mains up for a title. It's basically a one-on-one in terms of the title. Like, what was your strategy or kind of mindset heading into it?
I just wanted to just compete to my best, really. That was kind of my focus, and just obviously fall back on all the things I usually do. And, you know, I was able to win the day before too. So that kind of helped with my confidence going into it. But yeah, I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the spectacle of it. And there's a big show, and, you know, Joris is an incredible racer and arguably the best to ever race on the USA BMX circuit. So, you know, you think about those things and, but yeah, just got in the gate and, you know, I believed that I could get it done. And if I just, you know, kind of hit all my marks around the track, I was very confident, felt really good all weekend. So, yeah, I don't think there was any, the moment didn't really feel too big for me. I felt ready for it. I felt well prepared, and I was right there, two out of the three mains. And yeah, just the chips didn't fall my way, and that's BMX sometimes.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. A couple months before, you made your debut at your first major games and got a silver medal at the Pan Am Games. So I wanted to ask you a bit about that. What did you think about that whole experience? Because obviously it's quite a bit different than a typical BMX race, you know, being there with other athletes on Team USA and Athlete Village and all that kind of thing. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, it was good. So I actually did go to the one in 2019. Actually raced James there. I remember that. Yeah. It was in
Lima,
Peru. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So this was my second one. And I love it. I think it's cool. The village, the whole experience is unique. You know, I always circle that one, and I always will for the rest of my career. Anytime I get to that race, I'll make sure to do it. It's been unique for sure. Like, we've had kind of weird living conditions at both of them. The conditions in the Athlete Village are kind of crazy. You never know what to expect. Yeah, it was good. It was cool. You know, felt good there the whole weekend. I love the time trial. I will add that. I love doing the time trial. I wish we did more of that. And then, yeah, I ended up going 1-2 with Cam, which was cool. I wasn't very stoked at first, to be honest with you. I was running, you know, good laps all day. Felt great. And I thought there was more in there. But yeah, overall, that experience is always awesome.
I feel like that's just the racer inside you, though. Like every a real racer that's going for a win, it's like instantly after you're going to be a little pissed if you're not getting what you're going for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Those major games, like you got to just go whenever you can because they're so special to just represent your country no matter what.
They are. Absolutely. Yeah, I won't ever miss one of those for sure.
I think we petitioned to get time trials back in action at some events.
I was going
to
say, like your generation hasn't really done time trials.
No, that was my second one. My first one was the first Pan Am Games.
just a 4-year gap. There's like not easy to do, man. They just feel awkward all the time. They're hard. Like they just never get easier. It's weird too. Like everything you do is just magnified. You like over jump something. It's just like, oh, this lap sucks.
Yeah. And that's exactly how it felt too.
Yeah.
Like that was easily the most nervous I was the whole weekend was for that.
Oh my God. It's so much more nerve wracking than racing.
Yeah, and it just doesn't matter, really. Like, at the end of the day, that thing just didn't matter. And I'm just, I was, like, telling myself that. I'm like, oh, I'll just put together clean that. Don't care. I'm just shaking in the gate.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, it's weird feeling because just it's, like, the one time, too, where you're so exposed. Like, everyone is just watching you ride the track.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was exactly like you said. I felt like I made 30 mistakes on that lap, and then I watched it back and I was like, oh, that wasn't that bad. But
no, yeah, no matter what, it always feels way worse than it actually was.
Yeah.
Getting into this year, what are the plans for the season? Obviously, if you're doing Phoenix, I guess you're not going over to New Zealand, Australia too early. You're just going to head there for the races.
Yeah, obviously, there's a little race going on in France in the summer. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I'd plan on starting it out here in at Black Mountain, obviously. And then, it would be, I think there's like a 4-5 day gap after that race and then head out to New Zealand. So, obviously our Olympic qualification points are all kind of dictated on the World Cup results. So that'll be a focus all year. The USA BMX series, I'm not quite sure. I don't really know. I can't guarantee where I'll be at kind of until
it's going to be a late season charge, baby. It's going to be a fall season charge.
The way it is, I guess. I'll definitely come back to it after the dust settles. But for now, obviously all the UCI stuff and the worlds and doing everything I can to get to Paris is the priority. So.
Nice. What have you been doing? Before we get to any of these other like fun questions we got here, what have you been doing in the off season? Have you been taking any time off, kind of just relaxed? Like obviously you're still getting ready for the season, but are you playing any more rounds of golf on the side that you wouldn't be doing in the regular season?
Hey, how's the golf game? Is it D's?
Nah, it's not. It's not. I actually lost my love for the game after I had a pro-am. I had to play in the pro-am with Live Golf and just played the worst round of my life.
I forgot about that. How was that experience? That was dope.
It was cool, man, but I just could not make solid contact with the ball that day for whatever reason. The stars didn't align, and
more pressure. You're teeing off in front of tour players. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do.
No, it was crazy, dude. Like on the first tee box, they actually had there was like full on bleacher seats around it, like exactly like you would watch on like PGA tour. And there's people in there. They're like announcing all of our names. And of course the pros go first and hit like 350 yard bombs.
Right down the clock. Right down the middle.
Yeah. And their tee box is like 100 yards back from ours too. and I'm just like, oh gosh. And I was actually paired. So there's like two amateurs with two pros. And I was paired with this NFL player, like this ex linebacker. And I was like, surely this guy's not good. Like I'll outplay this guy, no problem. And he just ropes his down the center fairway, just outdrives the pros, obviously, because we're another 100 yards up front. And I get on the tee box, and they're announcing my name. Everyone's there. And I swear to you, a golf club has never felt lighter in my hands.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it was unreal. So it just gave me perspective on, like, those guys that actually play for millions of dollars. Like handling that it's crazy, but God, I guess it's so all relative good to what you do.
It is. Yeah. It's the same thing as getting in the gate for a major main or whatever.
Yeah. But long story short, played horrible and haven't really played since. So
I gotta say, like those guys though, like they're so used to playing with, they've played with so many like CEOs and people that are just terrible at golf. Like they don't care.
They didn't at all. Like they were having a good time and they were chatting away.
They're probably just stoked to learn about what you do and stuff. The best advice I ever heard was like, someone was like, you know what? No one cares where your ball goes except you.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. That's kind of the way they acted. Like, they didn't really care. I'd be pissed off. Like, and they're just kind of just walking. They don't give a crap.
No, they don't give a shit. They probably, honestly, they probably just wait for you to tee off. They don't even look where your ball goes, probably.
No.
Did you ask him any like golf questions, or were you just chatting the shit?
No, we did. I did a little bit. So actually, the day before this pro-am, there was a banquet at USA BMX headquarters. And so like all the live guys went out to the track, and I got to meet, you know, some of the top guys. I met Phil, Watson, Harold Varner was pretty cool. And they were all kind of like, they went up to the 8 meter hill. Cam Smith was up there as well. And they were all so geeking out, like filming us on the start hill, which that was pretty eye opening to me. I'm like, you think about it, right? Like, at least we can hit a golf ball. Ain't no way one of these guys is going to ride down there.
No.
So they were all pretty mind blown. And I'm a big golf fan, and I watch them on TV all the time. So I was geeking out. Bubba and Cam Smith were probably the two that were the most interested. They were up there asking us questions for hours.
I can see Bubba seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah. He's a cool dude.
I saw Abraham Answer the other day posted on his story of him riding the Tulsa Last Straight.
Really?
No way.
Do you see that? You guys follow him? Yeah. I don't know if that was like recent or maybe.
He must live out. He must live out there.
I think he lives in like San Antonio, but yeah.
Huh. I'm looking up right now to see if it's still there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a story. Of course, it's not going to be there.
True. Anyways, speaking of sports, right. Speaking of sports, how we feel about next weekend, 49ers, Packers? How are we feeling about that game?
I feel good about it. I was actually just watching the on over there.
I got it on right now.
Kind of getting smoked right now.
Score.
It's 16-9 Bucks right now. Oh, it was closer than that last check, but it's been crazy so far. A lot of upsets, and the Packers are kind of scaring me right now. Not gonna lie.
I would love to see your guys' teams playing in the Super Bowl. I very much.
We that would be it, fucking dude. Great.
Yeah.
We need it.
That would be awesome.
We need it.
Yep.
We need it for sure.
All right, let's get into. Well, we got some hate it or love it questions before we get to the fan questions. So, I'm gonna say something. You got to say if you hate it or love it.
All right. Fair enough.
Early mornings.
Most of the time, hate it. Am I supposed to just like no context, just one or the other, just go for it?
I mean, you could say a little context too if you want. Yeah.
All right. Not are you, I hate are you, it on race mornings. Just hate it.
Yeah. Okay. Hate it. I was gonna say, are you a morning person?
I am actually. Like.
Yeah. At you home. Seem like a morning person.
Yeah.
Old fashions.
Love it.
Nice. Absolutely.
Love it.
Thai food.
Love it.
I was gonna say, are you a pad Thai guy?
Yeah, I love pad Thai.
Oh, fucking love a good pad Thai. Supercross Hill.
Don't have a choice.
You paused middle. Yeah, it's a pause.
Gotta
paused. I can tell you're like, well, I don't love it, but I also don't hate it. So I gotta say I love it.
Yeah, love it.
Sorry. Do you like the flat hill racing better?
Honestly, I mean, I don't really have a preference, to be honest. I just like racing. I grew up obviously on a flat hill. So that's probably, if I had to choose. Yeah. I think the racing is just as exciting. So, if I had to choose one, yeah.
Fair. You'd choose flat hill or small hill.
Yeah.
Slow gates.
Hate it, man. Hate it. Hate it.
115 degree days.
Love it, I guess.
So we asked Lexi when we had her on the show last week, what do you do in the summer in AZ when it's 115 in terms of training? Like, do you wake up super early to do sprints, or when do you ride the track and do sprints in that?
Yeah, you got to get up early, get it in, be done by at the latest 10 a.m. if you don't want heat rash, and then just wait till the sun goes down and then come out for your second session.
Dude, at like 10 a.m. it's already like 105.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Insane. But until it's like really beating on you, it's not too bad. I mean, it takes you a few months to acclimate too. Like when it first, when the heat like first hits, it's bad, man. It can get out of hand.
I'd rather that than really cold, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't have a choice, man. Especially you ride a bike. Absolutely.
0 degree days.
No, I hate it.
Too cold.
Hard gym sessions.
Love it.
Dog.
Short first straights.
In the middle there. Say, I don't mind it.
Traveling.
Man, these aren't like one or the other questions, man. These just aren't.
These ones make you commit. They make you commit. They really do.
I'd say love it. I love it.
Okay. Taylor Swift.
Hate it, man. Hate it.
If the Chiefs and Ravens win and they're in the conference championship, I just want to see her cry after the game. That's the only thing I want to see.
I'm just tired of it, you know, my television, man. I'm ready to watch football again.
It's crazy that headline when the Chiefs are playing now. Like, it's just
unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, the NFL has just monetized the crap out of her at the races.
So smart for that.
Or not the races, the games.
Yeah. Crazy.
At the races. Imagine she came to a BMX race. Imagine her in Tulsa.
Oh,
just dating a BMXer or something.
What a joke. That, no.
That's what we need. That's in BMX. We need like a pro to date like fucking Selena Gomez or Taylor Swift.
Who's going
to
do that?
I mean, yeah. I don't know. Someone's gonna
who's the man for the job there?
Yeah. Who the man is, but it's got to be a single man and he's got to, you know, he's got to make it happen. All right. DJ Mighty Rides, best NBA team. Oh, we'll go with your favorite NBA team. Who's your favorite NBA? Are you an NBA fan?
Yeah. I like the Suns just because I live here now.
Okay. So we're in agreement on our NBA team. I'm a Suns guy
too. You're a Suns guy.
Yeah.
How do you go from Baltimore to Phoenix?
Well, I was looking. Here's what happened. So I already had Baltimore as my team. And then when I made the mistake when I picked, not that I made a mistake with Baltimore, I didn't realize when I picked my NFL team that there were like zones for games or networks. You know, you got to watch the, like they show the teams in your network area.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So when I was picking my NBA team, I was thinking, okay, I got to pick a team close to me.
So
that way I could watch the games.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I don't really like LA. I don't really like LeBron. So I was like, I'm not going to pick him. I was like, Golden State, that's too played out. And I was like, you know what? I like Phoenix is a great city. Let's go with the Suns.
Yeah. And this was probably like a few days after the Kevin Durant trade happened.
Yeah.
He got traded in the summer, right? Did he get traded in the summer?
I don't know. Stupid shit. But go Suns.
Go Suns.
Like to see it.
James, you have them or is it?
Yeah, I got them now. From Taylor Stevens. Do you do any cowboy stuff when you're back home?
No, I just love to fish. I'm a fake cowboy. I didn't really grow up on a ranch or anything. I didn't live the Yellowstone lifestyle you guys all watch.
grew up with Rip and Beth just hanging out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love to go to rodeos and fly fishing is one of my favorite pastimes. So that's about all.
Speaking of which, what a travesty that Yellowstone series has become. They only finished the first half of the last season, and now they're just not going to finish it ever.
Yeah, what's happened?
Yeah, I kind of fell off that a while ago. I don't know what season I got to, but there was a point where I was like, all right, I'm not really into this anymore.
What's the main character? The John Dutton character? I think he left the series basically and was about pay or schedule. So I think they're just...
That's brutal.
Yeah, then it's over. It's over.
It was brutal. That season, that show was so popular. They just like, okay, it's just, randomly done.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah. Eli Shaw, what's one thing the 2023 season taught you?
Good question.
That's a good question. Patience, probably. That's kind of the biggest thing. Like I talked about just with the injury, really had to, I just kind of was go, go, go for so long, especially being young in my career. Everything's new. Everything's exciting. I felt like I was still kind of at that point up until that shoulder injury happened. And then, having to take a step back, I think it taught me taught me patience for sure.
From Scott Brohagen, besides ketchup or mustard, what's your favorite hot dog topping?
I'd probably have to go relish. I don't think anything else would deserve to be on there.
We get one question like this every few shows. Is it the same guy that asked the question?
I don't know, but I love these kind of questions.
He must love fucking hot dogs or condiments or something, because we get this one once in a while.
You ever had a hot dog run through the garden?
Uh-uh.
No?
No.
We learned Chicago that in Chicago style. This year.
Chicago-style yeah, hot dog.
You run it through the garden and add like lettuce and tomato and whatnot, apparently.
I don't think lettuce should ever be on a hot dog.
It's really weird. I'll be honest, it's really weird.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
From Lee Lamsdale, what do you think Mason Hames' final height will be once he stops growing?
Oh, man, that kid's crazy. So you guys know who Mason Hames is?
Yep.
We talked about him. I said after the Tulsa show, he's the unofficial CEO of the Camwood fan club. No matter what we post, like, who do you think is going to win this weekend? Whatever. He's just like, Camwood, baby.
That's my man. That's my man. No, he's like 15 now, and he's probably 6'3", 6'4". So
he's grown so much. Yeah. Like, I kind of first met him like 2 years ago. He's like twice as tall, I swear.
Yeah, he's nuts, man. He's sprouting.
Yeah.
From Jack Hudson. What did you find the biggest change to be when you started training with Sam?
Oh, man. So that would have been, I started working with Sam in 2019. I don't know. I didn't really have, like, I kind of grew up, my dad was probably my biggest coach growing up as a kid. And, I think when I first moved out to Arizona, I was 16, and I just didn't ever stop. Like, I'd never rested, nothing. Like, I just got here from, you know, being locked away in a winter state in Montana, and just kind of went rogue, went crazy when I first got here. So I would say everything changed really when I started working with Sam. He had a whole different philosophy that I was unaware of. And yeah, it was a learning process right from the get-go. So I'd say just about everything kind of changed when that whole deal started.
From my vinyl collection too, which track should be forbidden to ride on?
True La Beijing.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that's probably top of the list. I'm starting to think that's top of the list. I haven't really been on any others that
have frustrated. You want to burn to the ground?
Yeah, that one's pretty frustrating.
If they had the Chula Not Rio track, that's kind of like the Tokyo track. If they had both that and Beijing set up ready to go, prime conditions, which one are you riding? Which one are you training on?
Well, I'd say now, like at first, when I first started riding, I was terrified of the other one because it's massive. Yeah. And there's a handful of people that went through the current second straight that's laying there that's all vacated and just overgrown by weeds now. But I'd say now that one would probably be about right, I think, with the speed we're going. The jumps are obviously just massive compared to everything else we race on still. But I swear, I think that's probably safer than Beijing.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
James, go ahead.
From James Jared, do you do any other cycling to build endurance and strength?
Not really. I mean, I do some road stuff kind of just as a form of active recovery on a weekly basis. Outside of that, I don't really enjoy mountain biking or I guess anything like that. I went to the Velodrome. I was in LA this past weekend and tried Velodrome for the first time, and that is sick. I love that.
Really?
Yeah.
Pretty fun, actually. You go so fast on those things.
You go so fast, and you just have like 110 rollout on that thing.
Just wind up. Just spend two laps winding at the top, and then just drop down.
It's crazy, and then you'll hit like this little downhill portion, like right after you exit the turn. And I swear I was up around like 40, 50 miles an hour. It was crazy.
Like you get a pretty big rush from dropping down from the top. It's pretty sick.
No, I was like, I haven't been that scared on a bike in a while too. Like when I first started going fast, and then you can't slow down. Like these things, they're not like, I don't know, what do you call it?
It's fixed gear or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it's fixed gear. So when I was first like getting kind of warmed up and getting into it, I went with Jamie Staff, which is the director of USA Cycling, and he's an Olympic gold medalist in track sprinting. And he was on the track with me, kind of showing me the ropes, and I was following him in. And we were sitting down and it was all good. And I kept reminding myself, I'm like, don't stop pedaling. Don't stop pedaling. Don't do it. Don't coast. Just keep the legs moving, whatever. And as soon as I started standing up, I did like a little sprint and I just totally blanked, like totally just shut off the gas. And my arms are all relaxed. And I just, as soon as I let up, the bike just launched to the right. And I somehow like I fishtailed and then like overcorrected and was just wobbling for like probably 100 feet going like 30 miles an hour and then straightened it out.
No, it's that sport is sketchy. And like, it's, I did it a few times when I was younger too. It's like the first time or two, it's really hard to remember to keep pedaling.
Yeah, it is. And then those corners are, I mean, they're banked and you're on these little, obviously razor thin tires. And we were going so slow and it just felt like the thing was just going to slide out underneath the whole time. I'm like, there's no way this tire is going to bite right here. And Jamie's like, get on the bank, get on the bank. And I had to get going fast before I trusted it. It was crazy.
Would you ever consider doing it after BMX?
For sure. Actually, yeah. I've kind of talked with him about it. It's always been an interest of mine, and I've always kind of been more fascinated with, you know, that kind of side of racing than just like obviously riding, and you see people make the transition to mountain bike, stuff like that. But I'm a geek with numbers and power and, that situation where it's just a steady environment and it's all kind of just, straight line, raw horsepower. I could see myself one day maybe trying it.
That's cool. Awesome. From MP112, how has it been with German as the US head coach? Any major changes in how the team is run?
Yeah, it's been great. He's been a blessing, really. And he's honestly been perfect for that role. And this was really the first time I've ever met him was this year when he got that job. And he's been instrumental in everything that's kind of going on behind the scenes for me throughout the injury. He's been in my corner and he's been a great person to lean on and someone who is very, very experienced in the sport and been around for a very long time around a lot of very successful people. So, I try and be a sponge. I try and learn from as many people as I can. And he's, a very good guy with a lot of knowledge and a lot of, good values. So he's been awesome. And I think USA Cycling, the program as a whole has definitely been better because of him for sure.
That's cool. Yeah, good to hear.
Yep.
From Sebas 404. I think I probably asked this before when you've had it on the show, but you still ride V-brakes. How come?
I don't know. Just haven't really felt the need to change. And I'm just the art of simplicity. Seems like there's less that can go wrong when you're traveling. And I don't ride with my finger on the brake like most people. I just, if I grab brake, it's like a handful of it, like four fingers, just... So I'm just not picky. Like a lot of people like that feel of just being able to feather it. And I don't do that. So just haven't had any need.
Yeah. The brakes, who cares? Chipotle or In-N-Out?
Yeah, probably Chipotle.
You know what? I just got to go back. You know, you say they're just brakes, T. That's like, so again, we were having a debate like why Suzuki still has a Kickstarter on their bike when all these other dirt bikes have electric starters. That the V brakes are like the electric starter. Like it's the old school. Like, well, I guess why change it? But also why don't change it? So there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, yeah.
Is what it is.
I don't know. I think I've been around people that have like, they'll be on a trip or whatever. And then the hydraulic ones, they have to like bleed them and do all this stuff. Like, dude, you don't need to do that. If your brake's rubbing, just take this little wire right here and bend it.
Just crank it on the side.
And just crank it, and then you'll be all right.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. Love it. Love it.
It is way more simple. Let's be real. Classic. You got any more, team?
You got a favorite like streaming service show right now? Favorite Netflix show? Anything like that?
I'm rewatching Breaking Bad with my girlfriend right now, and that's just that's just timeless. All time for me.
Timeless
yeah,
classic.
Just,
yeah,
this is probably my fourth time back through it, and I just love it, man. I think it's the best ever.
Jesse Pinkman.
Outside of that, not really. I was watching Suits a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Great show. Couldn't really get hooked. But yeah, just yeah, not really. I'm not a big show guy.
Donna sucks me in on Suits, dude. I'm a Donna fan. She just really just keeps me glued to that thing.
I was gonna say I stopped watching when Meghan Markle left. That was years ago.
She leaves.
What?
She leaves.
Okay, I guess I ruined the show. I guess I ruined the show.
What the heck, man?
Yeah, she had to go. She had to go be like. Deep. Dude, she had to go be like Queen of England or whatever she is now. So,
oh man! All right, well,
well, you ain't finished the series now. Yeah.
If you could be like professional in another sport, what would you pick?
I think I'm just a big football fan, so I'd say being in the NFL would be pretty cool. All your body takes a beating; those guys are nuts. And I'd say now I'm a big NASCAR fan too. And being a driver wouldn't be all that bad.
Oh yeah,
it's a little little too late for that. Like those guys are crazy, man. Yeah. They live a good life.
Yeah. Do you have a buddy who used to race BMX? He's plays football. He's like, I've seen you post about it. I feel like I know who the name is, but I thought it was you that posted about it.
Jack Kelly.
Yeah. How old is he?
He's I think he's like a year and a half younger than I am. Yeah, he plays college football. He just transferred to BYU, and he's just an absolute unit, man.
Is he?
Absolute unit. And he was dang good on a bike too.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, or yeah,
he was dang good, very successful as an amateur. And I have no doubt if he stuck with it, he would be great. But he just ended up falling in love with football, and he's doing all right.
No kidding. Well, dude, thanks for coming on, man. Good catching up, and good luck in Phoenix. I'll see you there, actually. I'm going to be at that weekend, too.
Sweet. Yeah, thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure to be back. I think this is the third go-round, man.
Dude, we love having you on.
Yeah, you've been on a couple times now.
Fantastic, dude. Yeah. Good luck this season,
Cam. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it. Later.
All right, buddy.
Cam Wood, everybody. Where's the applause? Just be ready once in a while. There we go.
I think the last time we had him on was after he won the Grands in 22. I think it was 22.
I thought we had him on the beginning of season 22. Beginning of 2023. I thought we had beginning of 2023.
I don't think we did.
He's definitely he's one of our regulars. We can say that.
We got a yearly check-in. Yearly check-in.
I feel like a yearly check-in is pretty staple with Cam. He's a great chat. Always gives us great insight. You know, he loves to talk shit on some ball, you know, some football or whatever. So, you know, even when we're not on the show, that happens sometimes.
What a year he had, up and down. I mean, overall, good year, but holy smokes, was it a roller coaster?
Oh, dude, crazy. It was just like, we talked about people that come back from injuries really well. I think we talked about Jeremy Rancorell has been one of those guys, but Cam did a phenomenally, like, huge injury to, like, basically have one warm-up race, and then he came back and won a World Cup at next stops. Like, that was crazy.
Stone cold killer.
There was a question in the from one of the guys here I wanted to ask, and then we'll do your little segment that we didn't do at the beginning of the show either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this was from Will Hammington. He says, will the World Cup finals moving to Tulsa change who get the overall titles? And I didn't want to ask that to Cam because, I mean, it's kind of a discussion topic. You know, sometimes you don't want to ask them specifically, but do you think it'll change who wins the overall titles? Do you think it'll make Cam want to go for that overall title?
I think it probably would, yeah. It makes a big difference than having Paps.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel like there could be guys that don't go to it, so that changes things. It's still before, I guess, so maybe not, but no, everyone will be there.
Yeah, everyone will, for sure. All right, we're going to end. We're going to put ourselves on the spot. We're going to play the Cam Wood game.
Yeah, I saw this, and I've already thought about my numbers, and it's funny. I think they all might be the same, which is kind of crazy.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. So there's three questions. We both have to answer what we think.
It's a fill in the blank sentence.
Yeah. Fill in the blank sentence. Cam Wood will have blank USA BMX titles by the time he retires.
I believe he'll have two.
I'm going four.
Oh, I love it. Go more. All right. Maybe I should have gone three.
Yeah. I think I went four USA BMX titles.
Okay.
Okay. So you said two?
I wish I could say three, but I said two. Stick with what you got, what okay. you said. No take backs.
Cam Wood will have blank world championship titles by the time he retires. So you went first last time. I'll lead us off. I'm going two world championship titles by the time he retires.
I was going to say two as well. That's my number. I feel like I'm getting kind of glued to for these.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Cam Wood will have blank Olympic medals before he retires. When he retires.
Yeah. I'm going two. I'm going big. I might be switching what my thoughts were on this upcoming Olympics by saying this, but I think he gets two.
I'm going one, and I think he wins LA.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going one. We're going to see how this marinates.
That's a goosebump call out right there.
Yeah, I think he's going to win in LA in 4 years. Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah. I think he does. 4 years, dude. He's going to be in his prime. He's going to have probably three Pan Ams and his first Olympic experience under his belt. And I just think he comes and fucking lights the world on fire in LA.
God, that'd be sick, eh?
Yeah.
He'll be getting that Nike deal real quick if he does that. Come on.
Give the kid a Nike deal. God, that'd be so a sick good. Deal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be.
God, I fucking love Nike. Everything they do is dope.
Except for the fact they dropped Tiger Woods. What a bunch of clowns.
I mean, he's an old man now, dude. He's like...
It's Tiger fucking Woods, dude. It doesn't matter if he's dead or alive. No, he's an absolute legend.
I'm just kidding. I think it's a life... Yeah, he might... We're not going to go through this again. We went through it last show. He might have left. We don't know. I'm moving because my slippers fell off. I'm putting my slippers back on. All right. Progate, you're up. Winning starts the Great Gate. Cam Wood. Good catching him with the kid. Show 230. Phoenix coming up in 2 weeks. Look out for Cam to win in Phoenix. Next question.
Next question, baby. I love it. Great show. Thanks for Cam for coming on. Thanks for a great show, T. Love it. Show 230. Don't forget, guys, Progate Europe. Snap on green.
Snap on green.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to be fast in the track.
I hate that guy.